You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for tuning in for this weekend's Best of the Todd Albaugh Show. We're going to kick things off with a return to this week's edition of Mondays with Matt and Air, where Jane Matt and Air comes on to talk with Todd about anything and everything.
Two parties, multi-millions of dollars being spent. Who will survive, outwist, and outlast the political experiment in 250 years. Welcome back, everybody, to the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Ready Network. The unmistakable sound of the Survivor theme song on CBS. One of my other favorite things in the world is Jane Matt and Air. You can hear every morning, along with Greg Baca, Matt and Air on air Monday through Friday, as it turns out, 9 until 11. She joins us from the greater Milwaukee area via StreamYard. Jane, how are you?
I am excellent. It is a beautiful October day in Wisconsin, boy.
I know, right? It's really nice. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I was out in Richland Center this weekend, got to see Mom, saw our colleague Phil Nee because...
Oh, cool.
The name won't mean anything to you, but one of the long time... He was kind of Lou Regani. Of course, Lou works for WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. And Ray Schrader was his name. And he worked at WRCO for at least 50 years.
Wow.
And he had, on Saturday afternoons, it was called Reminiscing with Ray. Big band music and the like. He passed away last year at 90-something. And so his lovely and talented wife, who, and I can say this because I worked with him for years, put up with him for years. And she and the family... He had this huge collection of vinyl, but also a few CDs, and they went to the local book record shop at Richland Center, and they brought a bunch of his albums, and they said, come on in, and if you want one of Ray's albums, put a dollar in for a donation, and they're going to put a bench in the park with his name on it as a memorial. And so we got to see his lovely wife, Harriet, and so Phil was there as well. But many of my stupid comments that I say on the air, I credit to Ray, because he would talk a lot of doublespeak. He'd say, it's colder than the winter than it is in the country. Do you walk to work or carry your lunch? That kind of vaudeville.
Oldies but goodies.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know, you probably remember, you used to have funeral homes, which I know you came from, your parents ran one. They would call into the radio station and give you the obituary, and you'd have to write all this out.
My father would do them live.
Really? On the air?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep. He had his own show, like Obituary Central.
It was Obituary Minute.
Yeah. Well, Ray,
depending upon what was going on, yes.
I'd come into the station to do my shift at Saturday night, and Ray would be there, and he'd say, how the heck is a guy supposed to do a record show when you got to take all these obituaries? And I said, I'm sorry. He goes, yeah. He goes, I got the funeral home called in, but he goes, thank God it was a short one. The guy was only 5'5".
What a bump.
So it was that kind of thing. Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor listener, who is also a alum of WRCO, says, I'm beginning to feel more like when I got here than I do now. Another great Ray-ism. So anyway, I was in Richland Center, and it was the point of the whole thing is that it's beautiful out there right now in Southwest
Wisconsin. It's gorgeous, and the colors have really got to be kicking in around Richland Center.
They are. They're almost kind of... Yeah. Their peak. So for those watching on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twix, X, whatever you want to call it, I look ridiculous, more ridiculous than usual, because I have my Civic Media buff on in a headband form, a buff.
I am somewhat envious. I have not been privy to the buffs, as it were. And I'm kind of, you're styling it. You're
no,
making
not really.
It work.
Even
with headphones.
I look like a very old Ralph Macchio from Karate Kid. That's what I look like. A balding Ralph. Wax on, wax off. Oh, wait a minute. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, the whole point of this is that I get to talk to Jane, and I really don't care what anybody else thinks. It's just my chance to talk to Jane once a week. So Sunday, I told this story earlier, so I won't tell the whole thing. But Sunday, I wake up late. I slept and I wasn't feeling well. And at 9 o'clock, I hadn't turned anything on yet. I'm making coffee. And I'm like, oh, it's 9:05. I should see what Greg and Jane are. And there's nothing. It's like music. And then it's like something else. And so I put in the Civic Media All chat. I don't know what's going on in the Civic Media app, but there is music playing instead of Jane and Greg. And about 3 minutes later, I realize it's Sunday. So that's the kind of dedicated listener I am to Matt and Aaron every morning from 9 until 11.
Well, that's lovely. I have relations who aren't that dedicated. I'm telling you.
I was very disturbed. I couldn't hear you at 9 o'clock.
Don't you hate it, though, when you wake up and it's the wrong day?
Yes.
When I worked really early mornings, that would happen to me on weekends, and I would wake up at 4:30 in a panic.
Really?
Yeah. Because I was a half an hour late for work at that point.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, the age thing is fantastic, isn't it?
It is.
So here's the deal. I've got we played the Survivor music and I have my buff on. Because the whole point of the thing is I want to talk about tribalism. Because, you know, you have tribes in Survivor that work against. And now, Jane, as you well know, we have a political tribalism. And I thought, well, here, let's talk about a couple of things that both tribes don't want us to talk about. So, first of all, on the Republican side, time once again for a beef update, Mr. Zomers.
A beef update?
An Argentinian beef update.
Oh, right.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. Truth is, my beef never left.
That's right. You. Argentinian. We really should have done a rehearsal. Anyway, yes, the Argentinian beef update. So, Jane, here you have Donald Trump on Air Force One flying somewhere around the world playing golf, meeting with people. And he decided to congratulate somebody over the weekend. Here's Trump on Air Force One.
In Argentina, I want to congratulate the victor, and he was a big victor, and he had a lot of help from us. He had a lot of help. I gave him an endorsement, a very strong endorsement, and it was really unexpected to have a victory of that. Some people thought so.
All right, that's enough. The point is, here he is congratulating Argentinian president on a victory. He's putting $40 billion in to help their farmers. And last week, of course, Jane, he keeps suggesting that he's going to bring in Argentinian beef to flood the market to bring down beef prices. U.S. beef producers, not so happy, Jane.
Yeah, they're not so happy. Although, again, the leader of our country said just the other day that the cattlemen love him, just like the soybean farmers love him. And everyone loves him. And no, they're not happy. And there are so many problems with this. First of all, from what I understand, and I have not looked into this a lot, Argentina has a problem with hoof and mouth disease. Yes. In their cattle. That is quite serious. Mm-hmm. That is not good. From what I understand, cattle ranchers have finally been fighting their way back from really bad drought conditions they had a couple of years ago, in which it was far cheaper for them to send their cows to slaughter into the slaughterhouse than to continue to feed them because the droughts had been so bad. So they took a big hit then, and now they're finally gaining some ground. And then he goes and undercuts our own farmers, just like he has done to our soybean farmers.
And I know one of the things I love about you and Greg and Matt are on air 9 to 11 Monday through Friday is that you bring on people from industries. You bring on farmers and ag people. We did that last Friday. Cool thing. David Umbihan, a former dairy and now cattle farmer in Richland County, joined us from his combine, which I thought was fantastic.
Oh, cool.
And, cool. And to your point, Jane, he said, just like the farmers you bring on your show, that, you know, this is not popular. This is not how you help beef farmers. We're finally able to make a couple of bucks here. And also, by the way, the trade wars are not helping us. And oh, also, by the way, David said, my kids rely on the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare for our health care here in the ag industry.
We talked to Darren Van Ruden from the Wisconsin Farmers Union about this a couple of weeks ago, about how many farmers use the ACA, which, by the way, in case you're confused, is also Obamacare. They are the same thing. Mm. The same thing could probably be said about SNAP benefits. And the number of people, especially in rural areas, that get SNAP benefits. A lot of folks who work for really struggling companies like Walmart have to use food stamps because they are paid so little.
Correct. And of course, we can go to that rabbit hole that SNAP benefits are supposed to expire on Friday. And we finished the fiscal year in Wisconsin with a $4 billion plus surplus.
Again,
and when Republicans in the legislature were asked, hey, do you think we can make up the difference here for a while? Probably not, as it turns out.
No, why would we do that? That's not our responsibility. And I'm sorry, I'm going to sidetrack a little bit here, but that goes back to the whole FEMA monies.
Yes.
So we were denied, Wisconsin was denied FEMA money for infrastructure repairs after the terrible August flooding. This is what he said on the campaign trail. They were going to send FEMA back to the states. The states have to start picking up more of the burden. It's their responsibility. We're only the federal government. It's not our responsibility. And we're seeing this now. He does seem to be, however, being a little bit selective about which states get all the aid and which ones don't.
Funny how that works out. You weren't Isn't sidetracking it? At all. You're reading my mind as you always do. We're talking to our friend Jane Matinere of Matinere on Air every morning from 9 until 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. No, I got the story right in my hands as you said that from Channel 3000 last week. We talked about this when it broke. Trump administration has denied Wisconsin's application for public assistance for Door County, Grant County, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Washington, and Waukesha County. So it wasn't just, as if that wasn't bad enough, it wasn't just the southeast portion of the state. I mean, you know, Grant County, not exactly a blue voting county over there in southwest Wisconsin.
No doubt about it. But I also think that there is a tinge of, well, I hate their governor.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly.
I do, because he's a petty man.
We're talking about tribalism here with Jane. So that's on the Republican. These are the stories that they don't want us to talk about on the Republican side, the denial of federal aid. And by the way, where is all this big, Republican strength in our congressional, Ron Johnson and Brian Stile and Tom Tiffany? I mean, he wants to be governor for goodness sake, and he can't even get his own president to give us a couple of bucks for FEMA relief.
I just saw a picture of Mr. Tiffany on Twitter, and he was slicing a big roast somewhere. So apparently whatever beef he's getting is going good, because Tom, of course, is still getting paid.
Right, as it turns
out. Tom's getting paid. So, yeah. So it's all good in Tiff's world.
That's the Republican side. On the Democratic side, and I just want to publicly kudos to you and Greg Bach, and you had political editor Dan Schaefer with you last week, and you're calling this what it is, and this whole Jill Underley story, the result from the Capital Times. And to me, Jane, this is no longer even about the Capital Times story so much. It's about Jill Underley, the DPI superintendent, who refuses to talk to the press, refuses to be interviewed, refuses to sit before a state legislative committee on this. And when she was asked to do that, she takes a trip out to her alma mater, to Indiana University, to receive an outstanding alumnus award instead of doing her job.
Yeah, that doesn't look good. That's a major understatement. No, it's terrible. So you got to get out in front of this and address this. This is a big problem.
As Zomers plays the Jill Underley theme song of this program, All by Myself, because that's what she's all by herself. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about that and the passing of a broadcasting icon with Jane Matinere, Zomers, and myself. It's the Title Ball Show across Wisconsin.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Get out your radio. Check your Civic Media app. There we go. Wow. Get it out every morning. It's a party. It's an information feel-good party every morning from 9 until 11 with Matinere on air and Jane Matinere, Greg Bach. Jane joins us now, as she does now every Monday at 2:30 from the lovely Milwaukee area via StreamYard. Jane, I want to make sure we get to it. Give us a little bit of a teaser, as they say, because people keep telling me I got to talk about these things. Give us a tease. What's coming up this week on Matinere and Air?
Well, at least tomorrow you are going to be joining us at 9:30. Corrine Hendrickson is also going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about childcare. This is not a problem that has all of a sudden gone and it's just fixed itself and gotten better. That isn't the case. So we are going to talk about childcare. Jim Santel joins us on Thursdays. There is always so much to talk about with him these days. And I think on this Thursday particularly, Rand Paul now says that we should not be blowing boats out of the water without knowing for certain that these people are criminals. That's called extrajudicial killing. So
as
we'll be talking
out.
About without well, yeah, we'll be talking about that with Jim Santel on Thursday.
Looking forward to that. And boy, yeah, it's a weird world where I never thought I'd find myself agreeing multiple times with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Rand Paul on occasion.
Make them stop. Make them stop sounding logical so I don't have to agree with them. It's driving me crazy.
But thank God there's at least a couple of people now and again. I'll give them that.
True.
By the way, Carmella, listening on WAUK in Milwaukee, says, Todd and Jane, I'm glad you're addressing tribalism, or in your case, anti-tribalism. You're calling out the BS on both sides of the aisle. We need more people in our media environment doing just that. Thank you, Carmella. Well, thank you, Carmella.
Thanks, Carmella.
It means a lot. Talking about exactly what she said here with Jane, we did the Republican side. They don't want us talking about Trump trying to undercut beef farmers and not giving federal relief to Wisconsin flood victims. And on the Democratic side, this whole issue with Dr. Jill Underly, Jane, the DPI secretary, again, to me, it's no longer or very little about the story in the Cap Times. It's now about the fact that Dr. Underly refuses to be interviewed, refuses to sit before a legislative body, takes off to receive a personal award at IU in Indiana over the weekend instead. And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle. If you're an elected official, I think it's your responsibility to come forward.
Without a doubt. And as far as it's my understanding that this award she was supposed to receive had been set up a long time ago, I don't care. I really don't. Forgive me, but I don't care, Ms. Underly. It's about priorities. And your priority should be addressing parents who are genuinely and not without reason concerned about this. And one of my big frustrations with Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, is considering all of the access he has to information, he is the least informed person on the planet because he can never respond to anything. And now she's doing the same thing by making herself absent. That is inexcusable. You are the head of that. You are the head of that department. You are the face and the authority of that department. She should have come out right away after this hit, right away. Democrats not demanding her do so, I think, is also wrong.
Yeah, the silence from the Democratic Party. Do you see Van Orden's tweet? And somebody I rarely ever agree with, his tweet calling Devin Remeker, the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, the Timu Wickler. I thought that was pretty good.
Not a bad line. I want to know if he actually came up with that, but that was not a bad line.
I'll give him credit for that one. This is very important to me. And Jane, I want to get your opinion on this as a pioneer in this state in broadcasting for women. And I say that with all sincerity and respect. The great Susan Stomberg, the first woman to host a national news program in this country, passed away last week at the age of 87. She was a institution, national public radio. Speak a little bit as one of the early pioneers, one of the first women in this state to really be something on the radio and to maintain that for decades. What does Susan Stomberg's legacy mean to you?
Well, for one thing, Todd, I mean, she had a good 30 years before me, so I do nothing but stand on the shoulders of women like her. And the fact that you would equate me in any way, shape, or form with her is beyond flattering. And I think giving me far more grace than I deserve. But back to Susan.
Disagree, but go ahead.
Think about what the landscape. I mean, there was misogyny and sexism in radio when I entered in the 80s. She entered when? In the late 50s, yeah. early 60s? When did she start her career? And the incredible fortitude, inner fortitude she must have had to go in every day and advocate for herself and hopefully find some man, because it was predominantly men, who would also advocate for her.
It says here,
it had to be really difficult. It had to be really difficult.
I can't imagine. It says on the WISN channel 12 stories last week, she became the host of All Things Considered in 1972. So she
in 72, had but other, even so.
Right. Even I before mean, that, she was still in radio.
Right. And becoming the host of something like that on a national scale is huge. So again, obviously she had some advocates and obviously she worked for it, but I'm sure it took her a long time to be taken off of fluffy light stories,
right.
you know, which is what they tended to send women reporters into, cover recipes,
right?
You know, do that
cooking stuff.
Cover those stories. Yeah, cooking and those things. And so I have nothing but respect for her, massive, massive respect for her.
I appreciate your reflections. I believe that Susan Stomberg should have some sort of memorial in this country. We should remember her, particularly in our industry. And you know, your humility, that's just who you are. But I know our friend Kristen Bry, who used to be on this network and now is somewhere else in Milwaukee, she gives you a lot of credit for helping her when she came here and to be paired with you. And people know you, know your voice and dedication. And congrats for setting the stage in Wisconsin for women broadcasters, for all of us, but in particular women, Jane.
I've been very, very fortunate. I have lived a blessed life, and for which I am
coming
very
up next.
Grateful.
We're going to zoom on ahead to Friday's show and listen to Todd's conversation with Peter Rapine, managing editor of eBombs World, about the weird stuff that people actually did over the last couple weeks. Thanks for sticking around for this weekend's best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. Right now, we're going to listen to Friday's conversation with Peter Rapine, managing editor of eBombs World, about some of the crazy crap that people really did over the last few weeks. Also, a few monkey stories. Enjoy. God, how long the intro is.
I like it. That's right. Little Michael Jackson for you. Thriller. Maybe the best Halloween song of all time. Certainly the best dance for Halloween of all time, I have to say. Zomer's on the board. Glad to have you along. 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Happy Halloween on this TGIF Friday edition. We've made it. We've made it to the end of another week. And what better way to sit back, relax, have some goofy fun, and just chill for the last half hour of the week than with our ongoing contributor and friend. He is the managing editor of eBombs World. Mr. Peter Rapine joins us from New York City, the city so nice they named it twice. Peter, how are you?
I'm great. couldn't be happy to be with you. It's a great way to cap off my week. And as soon as we end, I'm going to be putting a bald cap on my head. Tonight, I'm dressing up as the sad clown from David Hopper painting.
Really?
That's great.
Sorry, Edward Hopper.
Edward Hopper. All right, now I would like to have a photo of her next time so we can see what it looks like tonight. So make sure you take a selfie or something so we can see this this great costume. Is this like a friend's party? Is this a big swinging New York Manhattan party? What is this?
It's a Brooklyn party. It's it's a cover band show. It's a bunch of rock bands doing everyone from the Talking Heads, the Stones, the Ramones. It's a show I've been to before. It's a lot of fun.
It sounds like a lot of fun, and I've never been in New York City for Halloween, but I got to believe that everybody gets in the spirit and just, has fun.
Yeah, around this time of year, you can always play a game called Costume or Not,
yes.
where you guess if someone is in a costume or if they're not in a costume.
That's funny.
When I lived in San Francisco, we used to play this game a lot, and you can play it in New York because people celebrate for the whole week before. But today, you better guess costume, because obviously it's Halloween.
It's so funny you say that, because Zomers, so we're, our studios are right down here on State Street, and there are various parties throughout the week, and we put the camera on. I'd say to Zomers, is that a costume or not? and I said, when you go to New York City, of course, I mean, you walk through Manhattan, and you know, yeah, you got Spider-Man and Cookie Monster and Tickle Me Elmo and whatever, so... Yeah, are people working, or are they actually having fun in costume?
Yeah, is that actually Patrick Bateman, or just some, you know, just some banker?
Yeah. All right. Well, this is great for people who might not have seen the show before. Peter joins us every other Friday, and they scour the real and wacky headlines of stupidity of human beings, and they put it, they compile it on ebombsworld.com. You can find all these stories and headlines there, and he brings these to us. And Peter, these are real headlines from real people.
Yes, yeah, from out there in our real crazy world. And I have one to start us off today, right, Todd, that is near and dear to your heart. It's about monkeys.
Yes, a monkey story. I love a good monkey story.
There's a monkey with hepatitis C and herpes loose in Mississippi.
There's a monkey with hepatitis C and herpes loose in Mississippi. And no, it's not Thad Cochran dressed as a monkey in Mississippi.
So this happened on Tuesday. And the update I will make is that there's actually three monkeys loose, not just one. And get a load of this. So a truck carrying a bunch of diseased monkeys, diseased with hepatitis C, herpes, and everyone's favorite world-shutting virus, COVID, got into an accident, and all these monkeys got loose. And sadly, they all had to be put down, because you can't have monkeys with hepatitis C and herpes and COVID running around terrorizing the public.
My question is, why were there a truck of monkeys with COVID, hepatitis C, and herpes in the first place?
That's a very good question. Yeah.
And we don't know. We don't know.
I assume that they were, you know, test subjects for some sort of vaccine or something. I don't know why you would give a monkey all three of those diseases.
At the same time.
My question, my follow-up is, why isn't that truck stronger? Why right? Can monkeys escape if they, like, veer off the highway and crash into a pole?
You don't need that.
They did. Yeah, you don't need that.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I feel bad for the monkey, quite frankly.
Of course. But you don't feel bad for the three that got away.
Good for them. They're
out
free.
On the lam. Yeah.
They're on the lam looking for a zoo monkey to have some fun with. All right. Peter Rapine, next headline. Go ahead.
Next headline. And we have audio for this one.
Oh, audio. All right.
Cop shows up to virtual court clearly not wearing pants.
A cop shows up to a virtual court hearing clearly not wearing pants. Okay.
And I'd assumed, like I'm sure most viewers assume, that Zoom courts went away after COVID went away, you know? But I guess we're still doing them. And one cop in Detroit was asked by the judge whether or not he was wearing pants, and we have audio for it.
All right, here's it.
Please.
Yes, Officer Jackson, badge number 3919, out of the 12th precinct.
All right.
You got to ask the camera, Judge.
You got some pants on, officer?
Sir, they're in the... No, sir.
No, sir, I do not have pants.
So we've all been there, I think, if we're being honest, which I'm not even sure if Peter has pants on right now. But you're on a Zoom call, and the cop was in his living room, and it looked like the laptop must have been like on his coffee table, and the camera was pointed a little bit too far down that showed his lap, and the cop was, I'm not sure if he had underwear on or what, but clearly was not wearing pants, and he was not aware of how far down the camera was, and he was, you know, he was exposing himself a little bit more than he might.
It appears that he was, however, wearing his gun. To the credit of the judge, the case continued without any other, you know, incident. He let it go. I think you maybe told him to like flip up his camera a little bit, but it proceeded without stoppage.
To make clear, the cop was not on trial. He was just like there as part of the hearing to say, this is why I witnessed why I arrested this person. Yes, but he appeared via his home. And look, who amongst us just says, look, I'm a home alone. I want to be comfortable. I'm not putting pants on today.
Yeah. If you're going to do it, just sit at a desk.
Right. Thank you, Peter. That's the takeaway. Sit at a desk if you're not going to wear pants. And incidentally, I happen to notice that Peter is, in fact, at a desk. All right. next headline.
All right. Next headline, short and simple. Trump put candy on a kid's head again.
Trump put candy on a kid's head again. All right.
As it's pretty customary for, you know, presidents to hand out candy at the White House. I'm not sure, but maybe your viewers will remember, but Trump in his first term put a candy bar on a young kid dressed up as a minion. He came up to get candy, and he had a very flat top, and so Trump assumed, hey, candy goes there. Well, he did it again, but this time the kid was dressed up as DJ Marshmallow, which is like a DJ and a Fortnite character. Very flat top, kind of square head, and the kid resisted as he might, but Trump got his way. Put the bar of candy on the kid's head, and he walked out of frame.
I saw that the one from this year, and the kid's like, give it, put it in my hand or my pail. Yeah. And Trump insisted on putting it on this poor kid's head. Is he doing that just to be a bully? Does he think he's funny?
I think he just has like intrusive thoughts, and he sees like a flat space. He's like, I can rest the candy there. No explanation.
We're talking to Peter Rapine, who is the managing editor of EPOM's World. His biweekly appearance with us. We always look forward to it. He brings us real headlines for weird and wacky behavior of the human species. All right, Peter, next headline.
Next headline comes to us from Twitter, where people are having a pretty hot debate. Headline reads, "The internet is divided about how you're supposed to pee at a urinal."
Of all the things out there, the internet is divided about how you're supposed to pee at a urinal.
You know, I didn't know this was an internet debate, but it is a debate I recently had with my roommates.
Is it really?
And I will say, Peter is about to describe, you know, what the general consensus is. I was in the minority.
All right, go ahead, Peter.
Interesting. Well, so it started after someone posted a poll on Twitter asking, do you go out and over your underwear? Or do you go through the fly? 71% of people said they go out and over, while 28.9% said they go through the fly.
That's fascinating, actually.
And thus kicked off a really hotly tested, you know, argument about what the right way to go is.
And Zomers is right that this is a real thing amongst dudes, right? Like, I think because I don't know anybody, not that I'm looking, but I don't know anybody that like goes back and forth. You're probably one or the other, right?
Well, I think it also depends on what kind of underwear that you're wearing.
Well, that's a good point,
if you're wearing boxer briefs that are maybe more classic with a button on them, you might go through.
Really? I don't know.
I would assume that like 70 to 80% of people would do the out and over method.
I just think out and over is quick and easy. You get it over with.
Yeah.
I don't want to undo my belt, though.
Oh, so really? So you're like an unzip the fly kind of guy.
That's what's there for.
Interesting.
All right. Well, maybe TMI.
Now you know more than you needed to.
We'll keep her moving.
Keep her moving, as Charlie Barron likes to say. All right. Next headline, Peter.
This is another one from Twitter. It's a little grosser, though not in the sense that you're going to think. Not bathroom gross.
Right.
People are finding out that coffee pods contain ground up cockroaches, and they're allegedly not happy about it.
I bet they're not. People are finding out coffee pods contain ground up cockroaches, and they're not happy. Please explain.
So it started after a woman tweeted that she got an allergy test, and it told her that she was allergic to cockroaches. And she surmised from that the cockroaches that she was getting exposed to were in the coffee pods that she was drinking.
Oh my gosh. Do we know
because what?
Go ahead.
because there's certain regulations that the FDA has about ground coffee. Famously, everyone, when I was a kid, people would joke that Fig Newtons had, you know, rats or mice in them, because there are certain standards, food standards, for what can actually be in a product. And sure enough, there might be a small amount of cockroaches in your
Do we know what brand this is? We don't. No, it doesn't say.
No.
I guess somebody didn't want to be sued. But I feel like if this is real, it appears that it is. If the woman got a test from her doctor and found cockroaches, if she's not having them, like, you know, chocolate covered, wow. Just buy your coffee local. Don't, you know what I mean? Don't use an off-brand coffee pot. Is that the takeaway, Peter?
I guess it is.
All right. We're going to come back and wrap it up here with more weird and wacky headlines. The Week in Review with the managing editor of EPOM's World, Mr. Peter Rapine, live from New York City. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
By the way, Troy in Mount Horeb says I'm right about using the fly.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to across the state of Wisconsin. A weather update. Looks like a few showers, as they say, popcorn showers here and there for trick-or-treaters, but nothing, no rainouts, no washouts, I don't think, for anybody trick-or-treating across the state of Wisconsin tonight. And then a great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, in with a sports report. The World Series back in Toronto. Now, Peter Rapine, who joins us from New York City, managing editor of EPOM's World. You spent some time in Canada recently for personal reasons, shall we say. And nothing illicit, by the way. You've been in Canada. Do they celebrate Halloween in Canada?
They do.
Really? Yes. You know this. All right.
So I do, at least in Vancouver. I assume in Toronto as well. Yeah.
So we'll see. The Blue Jays could wrap it up tonight in Toronto. That would be a treat for them in the World Series. We'll see.
Would it be their first ever?
No, they won because our former Brewer, Paul Molitor, who got traded to the Brewers in the 90s, they won it. He was the MVP of the World Series for Toronto back in the early 90s, long before Peter Rapine was a twinkle in his parents' eye. All right, and then after the sports update, another great edition of Maggie Dawn's show, followed by a great edition of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. All right, Pete, you bring us Peter. Sorry, I usually call you Peter, but what do they call you? Your friends. What are they? Is it Pete, Peter, or those
who don't? Pete. Everyone calls me Pete.
Really? Yeah. But people who know him really well, Dan. So I think that's interesting. all right. I just like Peter. Peter, next, these are weird, wacky headlines from actual humans, not fiction.
Yeah. So speaking of the Toronto Blue Jays, our next story is from Toronto, where a mother says that her Tesla's AI asked her son for nudes.
Toronto mom says her son says her Tesla asked her son for nudes. This is real. Weird, but real.
So she, in an interview with CBC, she claims that she was giving her children a ride home from school, and her Tesla, which now is integrated with Elon's Grok AI system, where you can
from
talk
Twitter
to it and ask
your
questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from Twitter, which they use for Twitter and X. And now they in Canada, they now have the Grok and Teslas. So the kid asked its opinions on Ronaldo and Messi, saying, like, which ones do you like better? Soccer players, famous soccer players, which is a really also heated debate on the internet.
Right.
And after some, like, banter back and forth, Grok said Ronaldo. And then followed up by asking the kid to send it its nudes. And the mother was clearly
weird.
Taken aback. Yeah, right. She was quoted telling CBC that she'd never expected her family car to ask something of like that.
So this is what we are in 2025. Now we have to be worried that our car AI is being inappropriate with kids. It's no longer Jeffrey Epstein or Donald Trump. Now we got to worry about the family sedan, for God's sake. I mean, yeah. you can't win for losing, Peter.
No.
All right.
No, it's really messed up. It's obviously easy to laugh at. I think you kind of have to laugh at it because
it's weird. Yeah.
The world that we live in just seems unreal. But sadly, it is.
Sadly, it is. All right. Be careful those Teslas out there, ladies and gentlemen. All right. And we wrap it up with this final headline. You can find all these at epalmsworld.com. Final headline, Peter.
Diaper wearing monkey seen swimming from the rafters of a Spirit Halloween.
We end where we began with another monkey story. Diaper wearing monkey seen swinging from the rafters of a Spirit Halloween. What?
So, yes, a woman shopping for her daughter's Halloween costume in Plano, Texas, pulled out her phone and recorded a monkey running around on top of all the displays, swinging from the roof. Allegedly, the monkey was out shopping with its owner.
As one
does. When it was frightened by a store animatronic, you know, one of those like, things that would jump at you, and got spooked and ran away. They did call the police to apprehend the monkey, but this story has a better ending because after a long standoff, they actually coerced the monkey down with a cookie. And everyone went home happy and healthy. Yeah.
The moral of the story is don't take your monkey shopping. I mean, if you have, just leave it at home.
Yeah. This one did not have COVID or herpes or hepatitis C.
It was a well-vaccinated family monkey that just went shopping at the Halloween store.
Exactly, yeah.
I want the video that Zomers has played of this is priceless. And so one of these weird animatronics, you know, and it spooked the monkey.
I mean, good thing it was wearing a diaper because, you know, as the saying goes, right. It would have got something scared out of it.
Right. The monkey was very upset. Well, look, I cannot – you curated beautifully a Halloween edition of EPOM's World Weird Wacky Headlines. These are all available at epomsworld.com. Another great way to end the week, Peter. And now you get to go put on your bald cap and do the – are you doing your own makeup? Do you have someone doing it for you?
I have someone doing it for me. Yeah, really? No way I could do it myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
A friend, or is this like somebody who actually works in makeup out in New York City?
Well, my Canadian visitor is in town.
We're
going out together. She's currently working on her costume, which anyone listening, if you remember what salad fingers is.
Oh, boy.
This is going to be a frightening one.
A very spooky costume.
A throwback.
Well, I wish you luck and have fun out there in New York City tonight on the streets. Have a happy Halloween, Peter. And thank you very much for spending time with us. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Hey, thanks, Chad.
All right, thank you. Peter Rapine. Happy Halloween. Happy Peter Rapine, everybody. Managing editor of EPOM's World. Many thanks to Juan Garcia also being here from Somos Votanas, and also Aaron Zomers, our producer and engineer, and all of you for listening. Join us on Monday. Our friend Jane Matinair. Matinair on Air will join us. Look back at the weekend headlines. Have a great Halloween and a great weekend.
That's all for this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. As always, if you want to hear the rest of the week's shows, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.